Agatha Raisin and the Vicious Vet by M.C. Beaton. Read by Diana Bishop. Determined to be as remote and cool as possible, Agatha served James with another cup of coffee and then sat at the far end of the table from him. More for something to say than because she was interested, she said, "So you think someone might have murdered Paul Bladen?" "It did cross my mind," he said. "I mean, it would be so easy to do. Creep up on him when he had a syringe full, knock him on the head." "No, that won't do. He hadn't been knocked on the head." "But he might have been," said Agatha. "I mean, he had a lump on his head. They decided he might have got it falling on the floor, but he was lying on his side." "I suppose the police know what they're doing," said James. "I mean, if anyone else had been around Lord Pendlebury's racing stables, he or she would have been seen. This is the country. You can't sneak around places quietly like you can in the city."
"I wonder," said Agatha.
"I would like to see those racing stables. Do you know Lord Pendlebury?"
"No."
"But all you have to do is go up there and ask him to contribute to one of those charities you're always raising money for. Then when you leave the house, all you have to do is go to the stables and take a look around."
"I wish you would come with me," said Agatha. He looked at her nervously, but she had not said it in any flirtatious way. He thought of the work he had to do, thought of the joys of writing, found himself saying, "I don't see why not. We could go up this afternoon, say about 2.
"That's very kind of you," said Agatha calmly. She saw him to the door, ushered him out, and then performed a war dance in her little hall. The impossible was about to happen. She was going to spend an afternoon with James Lacey. By 2 o'clock, Agatha, weary of trying on clothes, had settled for a cherry red sweater, a neat tweed skirt, brogues, and a sheepskin coat. She stood by the window of the dining room, which faced the front of the house, so that she could watch him arriving. And there he came with his long, rangy stride. Although in his 50s, he was a handsome man, over 6 feet tall, crisp, dark hair with only a trace of grey, humorous eyes and a powerful nose. He was wearing a moth-eaten old shooting sweater with worn suede patches on the shoulders over a checked shirt and olive-green cords. Agatha had a good stare at him to compensate for the fact that she intended to remain cool and detached when she actually met him again.